What's up, nerds? Welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we bring in real, true facts and trade them around like they're dirty pieces of gossip. We rate those facts on a scale of, ooh, colder than the Ice Age to, oh my God, that's as hot as the fattest ass you could think of the gender that you love, or more than one gender. I'm Chloe, and I drove for the first time in like three years last week, and I did well. It's embarrassing how well I did compared to LA drivers.
I'm Rachel, and I hadn't driven in 5 years since I had moved to New York. And the last time I drove in Arizona before I moved to New York, I got T-boned and my car was totaled. And then I drove 12 hours to Michigan during the pandemic to be able to see my parents. And surprisingly, it was fine. Also, I did, as I started driving, I looked at my girlfriend, Kara, and I said, I'm just confirming which one the brake and the gas is. And she was like, I don't trust this anymore. But it was fine. It was great.
Also, a teeny little push down would hopefully confirm. Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to triple check. I was in my head. I was correct. Okay. I was correct. Yeah.
My name's Lindsay, and my goal is to get my U.S. driver's license by the end of the year. I have a U.K. one, but you can't just transfer across for many, many, many reasons. I know you also can't transfer from like certain states. So I also want to have a couple of lessons because everything will be on the other side of the road. But I really like driving, so I'm happy to go try get my license here. Although I've never driven an automatic car, so that will also be a fun experience.
You've only driven stiff?
Uh-huh.
Stick? Stiff?
Yeah, I'm a really rigid driver. I'm like all nerves, no relaxation.
With a hearse. Hi, my name's Shem. I once borrowed my mother's, I was once forced to look after my mother's car, which is automatic because she's like disabled. I also grew up learning just stick, and it was really weird because it was like, oh, this, what are you doing? There's just hit a button. This is all very normal sounding to you, but you just hit a button and then you just drive and you don't have to slowly engage in a war with the clutch to like gain biting point, et cetera. So yeah, and that was 5 years ago at least. So yes, design.
And okay, and I introduced myself. I'm guest Blair Dawson, and I bought my first car this year. Woo! It was a 2012 Ford Fusion during the car shortage. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah, and I got a parking ticket on Friday because oh, no. I did not move it for street cleaning. Hello, yes. From New York City.
Congratulations on the purchase, though. Yeah. That's exciting.
So much. I lucked out. I got it from a farmer named Eliza, and her car exploded. So here's the deal. She had two cars. She's a farmer. She lives in upstate New York. And she was like, I'm going to get rid of the second car. I don't need it. She sold me this car on the cheap. And then the following week, her car engine exploded.
Oh, my goodness.
Eliza.
Did Eliza contact you with a hey? So.
I already got the title.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, actually, the day after I bought the car, there was this insane accident on my block because this guy tried to cut someone off on a one-way lane. So there, you know, there's a one lane on the road that I live on. And a guy just like boomeranged and got and like sideswiped every single car on the block except for me and one other car the day after I bought it. Like, it was true damage. Like, really took off the side of people's cars.
Wow.
That is terrifying, but also very lucky for you.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, everyone is just experiencing destruction around me. And it's like...
That ticket doesn't seem so bad now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. $60 ain't too bad.
Dang. Well, she is... just the eye of the storm in chaos around her. Our guest is a comedian
and the co-host of the Genetic Podcast with her father. Please welcome Blair Dawson.
Hello. Woo-hoo.
Oh, I was waiting for the claps. Shem has special effects that he uses.
Yeah, sometimes.
So wonderful. I know it's not the medium for this, but you have a great outfit on. It's a really cute scarf. Is it a scarf? Scarf, cute.
I got it, if you can believe, from the Gap, and it looks like a fancy Hermes scarf. And it has birds on it.
It's really, and the color scheme.
Go to art school, so.
We believe.
Color coordination is so important.
I also really enjoy your mirror because it looks like it's like one of those round, what do they call, like portholes on a boat, because it looks like from here, like I can, it feels like a view out into the world, but I can, it's the view of your window, your room. Yes. but it looks really cool.
You get a full side of my room. I know it's like unprofessional, but I'm just like, this is where my desk is.
I think it looks great. I'm like, what's the world beyond?
It does look beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, Rachel Chada, my best friend. Yes. Would you bring the first fact?
Yeah, I would love to. I was like, when you started that, I was like, are you going to transition with this? Because I love it. Absolutely. So we are going to talk about a French serial killer named Marcel Picchiel. I don't know how to pronounce that. Lindsay, any tips?
I kind of need to see it.
That's honestly fair.
But you better get it right, otherwise they might come for you.
Honestly, I'll give you that. He did die in 1946. So we are safe there. But he was a doctor during World War One. Two. I think he was a doctor during both. He served in the French army during World War One, and then his serial killings started in World War II. He had the brilliant idea that he was going to pretend to help people who were fleeing the Nazi regime. So he would say, hey, come to me. I'm going to give you some medicine that will chill you out during your travels and your fleeing abroad. And they would come to him. He would inject them with poison, and then he would steal all of their money. So he used this basically just as a way to gain a little extra cash. So real creepy, real messed up, preying on people who genuinely were already terrified for their lives.
I thought you were going to say organs. So
that's what I thought. Yeah, no, he, you know what? I wouldn't put that past him, but he did not harvest their organs.
Rachel, as you're telling this story, a literal fly appeared in my coffee, which is haunting and gross.
That's certainly spooky.
But will I still drink it? Hey.
Protein. Do what you gotta do.
Yum, yum.
While he was doing this, he was dubbed Dr. Satan. For the number of people that he killed. I believe it was about 60 people. Eventually, though, people caught on to him and they were going to capture him. He ran away, grew a beard, and changed his name to
Dr. Angel.
Henri Valerie. And he joined the French forces of the interior who were fighting against the Nazi regime. He was captured. He was captured by the Nazis for a little bit because they thought he was actually helping people. But they eventually let him go because he was like, no, I'm killing them. Don't worry. And then he grew this beard, ended up internally working for the French military. His disguise was so good that he was put in charge of a group of people to find himself. So he was leading the task force to find himself. And then eventually, for some reason, his photo was released And someone connected the dots and he was convicted. He was found. He was tried. Yeah, he was fired.
But also promoted because he found the killer.
You're failing upwards. And
he did, you know, receive great, great comments on his annual review. But then he was guillotined in 1946. But yeah, he led truly a wild, evil, but professionally successful life.
And he was just doing it to make money, or he was doing it because he didn't want people to flee and he was pro-Nazi?
You know, that part to me is not clear in what I've read.
I feel like the only thing he cares about is money and couldn't care who he was stealing from.
Right. Yeah. He didn't need to kill him. He could have just given him a placebo. Like, why buy poison?
Yeah, he could have just knocked them out.
Yeah.
I think it truly was just like it presented an opportunity and he was like, these people will come to me for anything. So I'll just kill them and take their things, which is horrible.
Because if you like killing people, there are literal Nazis like next door.
Yeah.
Like,
you could join.
or kill them.
Kill
like,
them.
Yes.
No, that's where you were going. You know what? And I would agree with that.
Yeah, it sounded like you wanted to go solo, you know, not a team player.
Not a team player.
I don't take anyone's side. I'm just gonna, you know. Wow.
Switzerland of killing people.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, truly it doesn't matter to me what I believe in. I just believe in making money, baby.
I can't believe he was put in charge of finding himself. That sounds so existential and also just so silly. Like,
right? I'm trying to find the name because it was more, he was in charge of more than just finding himself, but under that was finding himself.
I mean, that's a life's work, so.
Yeah, we're all in charge of finding ourselves. But.
Meditation, journaling, literally finding yourself.
Oh, no.
How long did you say he got away with this for?
I'm trying to look at it. So it looks like he joined. So he was discovered in 1944, basically was on trial for 2 years and killed. So glad to know the legal system has been as fucked up as it was. It looks like, when was he killing people? I feel like it was only a year.
Whoa. You're yeah. Busy for that year, though.
Oh, disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish it was.
Really? You made me commit.
Didn't have longevity in this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I can't find the exact date, but that's what you're going to have to go with, Chloe.
Okay. Well, Rach, that fact. Is as hot as honestly I feel like this guy was. I get like a like it's just like a handsome. I feel like, do you know what I mean? Like there a lot of I can't remember who. I know this came up on the podcast where there's a serial killer who was like, wait, is he cute? Well, and I'm kind of getting this
Ted Bundy was pretty hot.
Yeah,
I'm getting this kind of abstract. Yeah, I'm getting this abstract vibe that he's hot, so I'm kind of putting that back at you. This was a hot fact.
Honestly, it kind of looks like a daddy. I can share my screen.
Okay, so then good.
It kind of looks like Manny Patinkin.
An otter.
Yeah. That was interesting. Okay,
look at those eyes though.
Yeah, those are.
He does have like wily eyes. Like, I like to slice people open with eyes.
Ooh, yeah. He looks creepy and like. Are you kidding me?
Oh. He does look mad.
But in this, in the one with the beard, he's like, oh, I'm kind of cute.
Yeah, it's a great advert for beards because he looks wild without it. Yeah. And then when he pops it on, you're like, oh, daddy.
But also that totally looks like a fake beard. The picture you were just on, that looked like a stick-on beard.
He honestly really does look someone who's not exactly stable.
Yeah.
He has a crazed look about him.
I
the ones from court are truly wild. Like
what? I know.
He was like, do you know what? I know what's coming. I'm just gonna milk this.
Wow. All right, Rachel, I'm sorry that's how I rated your fact. He's not hot, but your fact was.
Thank you so much.
Rachel that factors as hot as I feel anytime someone like BP launches a task force on climate change. And it was like, you're responsible. Like, what's happening? And it's good to know there's like been a long historical precedent for this.
Thank you.
Do I go?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Rachel, that was hot because in my head, I was like, this could be a Coen Brothers movie. And they probably would write about it. You know, I'm like, ooh, costumes. Ooh, the comedy, the hijinks. And then ultimately a guillotine, you know. Yeah, I just feel like that could be a very funny comedy of being put in charge of finding yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
In a military setting, yeah.
Rachel, your fact is as hot as I've forgotten the word for it here. I would call it fancy dress. Like
a fancy dress is like
when you dress up, like wear a costume. Like Party City or whatever. Like as hot as a Party City sales rack after Halloween, where you can get some great outfits, but you're like, these are a little wrong.
Thank you so much. All right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Next, I forgot the order I said at the top, but Linz, uh-huh. You want to go next?
Okay. Yes. I will go next.
That wasn't the order you said.
It was not the order you said.
Makes sense. Oh, boy.
So it's going to be a few little facts, but lead into one. So Shem and I watched Sister Act last night, and I re-enjoyed myself so much watching it again that today I was like, I got to find a Sister Act fact to bring into the podcast. So we kick
sister
off.
Sister fact?
Sister fact. Bette Midler was originally cast to play the lead role, but she backed out because she thought her fans wouldn't want to see her in a wimple. I'm so happy she did, because I think Whoopi was so wonderful. They changed the name. It was going to be Terry Van Cartier, but they changed it to Dolores after Bette quit. And then Dolores Van Cartier was based on a real life Hollywood movie star, Mother Dolores Hart, who actually did leave the entertainment business and become a nun after turning 24. But she still then, after like leaving, was still a voting member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. But my favorite is that after Bette dropped, they only had 2 weeks to rewrite and like make the changes. And Carrie Fisher was one of the people helping make rewrites to the movie. She also helped make last minute changes to The Wedding Singer, Hook, and Lethal Weapon 3.
Whoa. Okay, hold on. I gotta unpack this. Why did Bette Midler drop out? Her fans didn't want to see her in what?
A wimple, the nun's hat.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And
The Sound of Music, it's like she wears curlers beneath her wimple or something in one of the songs.
Oh,
and underneath her wimple, she wears curlers in her hair. That would have annoyed me so much if I couldn't remember the exact song lyric. Apologies.
So that's part of the habit. The wimple is part of the habit. Okay. I'm trying to keep my nun fact straight.
That sounds like a great title for a nun book. The wimple is part of the habit.
I love Bette Midler, but you're right. That would have been a completely different movie, and it's way better with Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm so happy she didn't do it.
Is that common knowledge that Carrie Fisher just punches up movies?
Yeah, she was a famous Hollywood movies. Script doctor. She was really, really good.
I did not know that. She's perfect.
Paging Dr. Fisher. We got some rewrites. Is like script doctor like what they would call her? Because I love that.
Yeah, it's what the job is. Like when you like do like little punch up or script doctoring, because then you're not like necessarily credited on the final. There's very boring WGA rules about what you do or don't get credited for. But yeah, when you're like going in and like fixing dialogue and things like that, which happens like a lot, or in like a punch up room, mm-hmm. don't necessarily get like that official title. But a lot of people did rewrites on that movie.
Oh, damn. I'm trying to, I'm just like in my head trying to think like I guess there's not another role that Bette Midler could have played without a Wimble on. Really,
in the movie.
I'm just like really stuck on this because like, why would her fans care? But just say that you don't want to do it. Just say you don't want to be a nun. It's also like not like she's like a sex icon.
Right.
Not to be rude to Bette Midler, she's a very lovely woman, one of my favorites. But I'm like, it's not like it's like, I won't. I can't be that
right.
chaste. I love it. I want to unpack it.
Major plot changes when they, like, what was Bette going to do that Whoopi didn't? Or did that, or was that, like, not the case?
I don't know. I didn't explore what the rewrites were.
Okay. You didn't get the edits?
I didn't get the edits. Like...
All right. Someone didn't do their research.
Okay, but I will now go away and try and find out the original script.
Sister Act 1 or Sister Act 2?
One.
One. Interesting.
Loved Sister Act 2, Lauryn Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have a one, we have a two. Chloe, it all hinges on you.
What?
Chloe, Sister Act 1. Have you? Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you seen Sister Act, Chloe? Hmm?
I know Chloe wouldn't have seen this. That's when I picked the fact. I was like, I would bet money. Chloe's like, oh, cool fact, but I've not seen the movie.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, and I know that I would love it. And every time I hear about it, I'm like, God, I really got to watch that.
You really do.
Because was it Dubs brought a Sister Act fact too? Someone brought a Sister Act fact.
No, like, they brought... They brought a Princess Diaries fact that it was produced by Whitney Houston.
Oh.
Yes. No, I remember that fact because that was wild. I think you would like it, and I think we will do a watch with you and do a special podcast episode on it because it is truly a classic. Shem, are you a Shrek 1 or 2?
I prefer them. The exact same premise of this movie was in the British movie called Nuns on the Run, which was like Eric Idle and someone else equally unfun, Robbie Coltrane, I think, pretending they're like, oh, we're like people like this and we're like criminals or like hiding. And then they're like hiding as nuns and they have to like dress up as nuns. And it's like a terrible movie that is classically bad. And I'd see adverts for it all the time. And then when Sister Act came out, I was like, this is just Nuns on the Run. Why are they going back to this? Well, Hollywood. And they're watching, it's like, oh, this is so much better. So as a unit, I compare them to that very bad movie. And I am always pleased.
Aw. Nuns on the Run, though, has kind of a ring to it. You know what I mean?
Oh, it has an amazing ring to it as a title. And then it's always advertised with this... music that's like bum, 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 bum. So it has this really like fun like saxy music that's played. Yeah. So like the advert for it is like stuck in my head forever as like a quintessential 80s movie trailer type music, but that's the best and only good thing about it.
Yep. Disappointing all around other than that. fair. Linz, that fact is truly as hot as the moment in Sister Act where the one nun who doesn't really talk or sing ever bursts out in that belt and you're like, what's happening? It's as hot as that moment. Because I remember being like six and being like, wow.
That was
dubbed. I didn't see that coming.
That wasn't the actress. Just a bonus fact. But thank you. The moment itself is hot.
Double hot. Sneaky and hot.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as finding out that Kathy Nanjami was Aunt Peggy in King of the Hill, who was like one of my favorites growing up. Yeah.
Whoa.
I was like, oh, I just like, oh, I love this performance. It's so really great. What else has she done? It's like, oh, she's in like one of my favorite animated shows of all time. Done very well. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yay. Linz, that fact is as hot as What's it called? It's part of the habit.
Wimple.
Wimple?
Wimple. As hot, as hot as Bette Midler in a wimple, no other part of the habit is on.
Whoa!
Wimple. Whoa.
Wowie, zowie, zowie.
Outrage fans everywhere. It's not my bet.
That's not the bet I know.
That fact was as hot as the movie The Little Hours, starring Aubrey Plaza, who also played a nun.
Yeah.
Really great movie. Recently watched it. Very funny, very silly. Kate Micucci, the girl from Girls, Jessa, the hot one, you know.
Yes.
Wow.
I feel like I randomly stumbled upon that movie and was like, what am I watching? But I'm into it.
I would recommend it. It's on Hulu. Fact.
What?
Fact.
That movie has Alison Brie, Dave Franco, Kate Micucci, Aubrey Plaza, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Fred Armisen, Nick Offerman. Like, it's a
star-studded cast.
Yeah. It's
wow.
Is it musical? I'm just like,
no.
Every nun movie has to be musical.
Mm-mm. It is not musical.
No, Julie Andrews said above, but dirty, you don't dirty, have to admit.
Yeah, it's a little. It's a little queer, if I remember correctly,
it's
right?
Smutty.
There's like a lesbian love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well,
for the girls and the gays.
The girls and the gays.
The best. Speaking of the girls and the gays, let's have a little word from our friends. Thank you for those words, friends. Sorry if you aren't a girl or a gay or both. Okay, up next, we're freaking excited. Blair, we gotta hear your fact.
Okay, guys, I'm so excited for you guys to hear this trivia. It is animal trivia. Get ready. Okay, so you're going to hear about how most elephants die. Most elephants die of starvation because they have 8 sets of teeth in their lifetime. And once they lose the last set of teeth, they're done with teeth. And then therefore, they can't chew. Therefore, they can't eat. Therefore, they die of starvation. Also, did you know that elephants throw each other funerals? And they have an excellent memory. So they're very sweet animal.
Great
family
gosh.
Values. If they see a skeleton, if their tribe passes a skeleton, they stop and pay their respects.
So sweet. Hey, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I feel so bad that they starved to death.
Yeah, I volunteered at an elephant sanctuary before, and this elderly elephant, which, by the way, they have a set of teeth like once every 10 years or so. So usually they die around the same. They have like the similar lifespan as humans.
Okay.
And so there was this 70 or 80 year old elephant that we were making like mango sticky rice for, but it has to be tons of food. You know, it's like they consume a lot of food. They spend most of their day eating food. So we were just creating all this mango sticky rice and putting a fuck ton of vitamins in them. So
that's so cute. Where did you do that?
In Thailand. I used to be an ESL teacher there.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm just imagining all these elephants being like, want some mango sticky rice? It's adorable.
I'm imagining you and some other volunteers just flossing like a giant bunch of elephant teeth, really getting in there.
Care so important.
Truly.
Only started flossing this year. Don't tell anyone.
Please don't tell my dentist.
It's so sweet that they do funerals too. Ugh.
I know. I was going to ask what it looks like when they're paying their respects.
It's if not it's catered. Just like...
I think there's some circling happening, maybe some like singing, perhaps. I don't know that. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
but, you know, I also in my head, I was like, I need to say this out loud. They're the goat, even though they're elephant. You know, I was like, okay, elephant, but okay. I'm so sorry. That's like,
oh my God, never apologize. I love that so much. I would get really depressed, not actually depressed, but I would be sad. My dad is from India, and we, the first time I went, we did this like train tour. 'Cause I think it was also the first time my mom went. We did like a train tour of, Rajasthan, which is a state, and
every day we would like be in a city, and then the train would only travel at night, and then we would wake up in a new city. But they would like schedule all of these activities for us, and they would always have like elephant rides, and just like seeing like their ears were always like torn.
Well, here's from, the like, thing, guys. Sorry to be a bummer, but no, actually, do it. Elephant rides, never, ever, ever ride an elephant.
I know.
Their spines actually cannot handle more than 150 pounds of weight. So especially if you see those chairs full of like typically like people that weigh a lot more than 150 pounds, usually white Americans, it's like it fractures their spine.
I would get so upset when we got on them because I would be like, they're not treating them nicely. They're not doing this. And now animal I don't think they can hold us.
Just don't do it. You know, if you're paying to see an animal, just don't. Just
say skip.
You just have to be in their environment. You know, it's like you can't bring the animal to you.
Yeah. Reasons that I hate the zoo. Reasons that the zoo stresses me out.
I mean, some of them I feel like are okay if they're like sanctuaries and they're like rehabilitation centers or what have you.
Yeah.
But most of the time it is kind of depressing or like breeding in captivity.
Yeah.
I hear is not good.
I went.
Guys, is this funny? I don't know.
It is.
It's perfect.
Great.
As good as anything anyone else is saying. no, because it reminds me of my friend Ronak when he got married. His family's from India, and then we went up to Leicester to his wedding, and then it was a traditional Indian wedding, and traditionally they were supposed to have him be carried in on like an elephant. But obviously they couldn't do that in Leicester, so they just picked an uncle and then got him to like carry him in. and then like for the rest, because the ceremony went on for ages, but like every time the uncle was like, yeah, I was the elephant. And he was like,
oh, he's an animal rights activist.
yes.
Uncle Peter.
Uncle Peter. PTA. I think that's hysterical. My dad will say that sometimes when he's like, oh, like at your wedding, are you going to like ride in on a horse? Which like, I'm like, thank you for your suggestions. However, already am white, and I feel like any type of traditional ceremony that we're going to have is just going to look bad. And two, like, he also is someone who's like, I'm not going to pay for any of it. I'm like, I'm not going to pay to ride it in a horse. Also, again, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, I've been to weddings where they have beer donkeys, beer burros.
I don't know like, what this is.
That? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, me neither.
I think it's like a big thing in Arizona. it's just like
red solo cup of a state.
I know. I'm like, they're also getting married at Arizona State.
They're not getting married at Arizona State. The weddings that I went to were all people who went out of state. So take that and smoke it in your pipe.
What is a donkey burro?
So it basically is like a donkey that gets dressed up for your wedding and has like a handler there. And on its back, it has like a little harness that on each side has a little pocket that has beers in it. Mm. So it basically walks around and brings people beer. But the wedding that I was at, the woman was just like the handler was just talking about how much money she makes on this donkey, like felt no love or connection toward it. And I was like, this is fucked up. I don't like this. It stressed me out.
I saw once in Oaxaca, the company were giving away free food in Canary Wharf in London. And then they had an actual donkey like walking around with little burritos that we would hand out because it's like a language based for the burro. And it was like, oh, this was like a fun way of distributing burritos that doesn't need to like happen. But they love that donkey. That was a weird, fun donkey relationship.
Yeah, there are certain animals that I'm like, oh, they are like naturally like work animals. And I feel like as long as they're treated well, like I feel like horses don't necessarily like mind being ridden. I don't actually know. It seems like I feel like I know enough horse freaks that care way more about horses as opposed to people that they would like let us know if they didn't like it. Or like, you know, I feel like donkeys and camels are similar in that way. it's usually, yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this. I feel like some animals, okay. Other animals, not okay. And then I think, and you know what? It's A-okay by me as long as you love them and treat them nice.
That's my thing. It's like, I want to see space. Like a beautiful relationship between this owner and this donkey.
Where's the love? You know, the divorce.
This is not a fact I'm bringing in, but there was a guy who loved his cat, and he was prone to having strokes, so he trained his cat how to like dial 911. And then he woke up in the hospital, and then what happened was he'd pass out in the stroke, and his cat like reached over and like pressed the button to like call for help.
Cats are so smart.
So, like,
I almost brought that as my fact today.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, literally, I have a tab open.
Okay,
Did you look on Reddit today, Shem?
That's where I saw it.
I'm obsessed. Animals are beautiful is what the summary of that statement is. Animals are beautiful. Some of them you just gotta love.
Some of them spiritually beautiful.
All right, awesome. Blair, that fact is as hot as, what I would consider to be the most physically hot animal of all, which is the giraffe, who has elegance, a beautiful neck, clavicle for days.
Or 6 feet tall, which is objectively the hottest height.
Yes.
Whoa.
Model height.
Also the gayest animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It is.
That fact is as hot as my body feels when I retreat into the fever dream of a memory that is my local Walmart occasionally had camel rides and I think elephant rides. I'm certain about the camels. I'm iffy on the elephants. But exactly, the face Shem is making is like, wait, and Lynn's is like, what? Why would Walmart do that? And that's how I feel thinking about that. It makes no sense. But so my body feels really hot and uncomfy. And in fact, it was hot. Yes, Rachel, was hot.
I was just going to say, like, did they get them from the zoo? Like, where did this Boston or suburban Massachusetts Walmart get the camel?
It was like a traveling, like, circus, but it wasn't like a circus. It was just a camel ride kind of thing in this, like, patch next to the Walmart. It was truly a fever dream.
I see.
Blair, that fact was as hot as the pink elephants sequence from Dumbo. One of the hottest pieces of cinema out there. Truly fascinating and fantastic.
Yes. That fact was as hot as an alpaca and llama farm in Atlanta, and they're all rescued. And the woman used to renovate properties, and now she takes the money she made from that to look after alpacas and llamas and rescue them from like auctions and bad places.
You like alpacas might be the cutest.
I love alpacas. I did, though, go to a wolf festival once, and I heard an alpaca being shaved.
So we were going to say shot, so...
Did it scream?
Yeah, it literally was screaming.
An alpaca's scream is pretty intense.
Yeah, I was like, I don't like this. but I do love the alpaca.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of love... Shem, can you bring the next fact?
I'll keep it animal related about the... I'll keep it animal and death related about the lunar moth, which like grows up and like goes through its stages of maturity. And then once it reaches adulthood, it survives for 6 to 7 days. And it can only survive for 6 to 7 days because it has no mouth. So it dies of starvation. The lunar moths, once it's like reached like adulthood, its sole purpose is to reproduce. So it doesn't have like a mouth or ability to eat, and it just will emit pheromones to find other lunar moths, reproduce, and then just like spew out like little more little moths.
Oh my gosh. Do they have like a purpose in nature? That sounds really awful. Like, do they help with something? I'm just like, I feel bad if they're just like,
how do they obtain nutrients out?
They don't, like, so when they're like growing or like as like infants, or
there's no food source.
While they're infants or like in their adolescence, they can like eat and produce and it's all fine. And then once they hit that maturity button, it's just the mouth like disappears.
Whoa. And then Handmaid's Tale vibe.
Yeah, it's just like you have a week to fuck and then you die. It's like a real like prom night vibes in American high school movies. Where, gotta get laid on prom is every lunar moth's existence.
How long do they have before death week?
What, they're like growing up?
Yeah. Like they have a week to fuck and then they die. How much time do they get before that?
Let's say like 2 weeks.
Oh boy.
It's a short life. But
imagine if that was the lifespan of a human.
Oh my God.
What a week.
What a week. And it's like, yeah, we spend a third of our lives sleeping. Baby. They spend a third fucking. They have, I think, the better deal.
We don't even have a mouth. That's true. You know, it's just body language.
I feel like it's so mean though as well. It's like, let's all just fuck and make loads more, but do you know what? You're going to get a really short life.
Also, like those loads more, they're also not going to have mouths.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why. Like,
look at what we're doing with our mouths.
Need mouths?
There are no Lunar Moth podcasts. They're all just busy getting busy. And I think that's maybe.
Oh, wow. That's sad. Oh, Luna Lovegood.
I mean, it's at the end of their life cycle, like, is when this happens.
Yeah,
it's like when they get put in the retirement home type, which is what.
Can you imagine how terrifying it is to just like one day lose your mouth? Isn't there like a horror movie that's getting advertised right now where like her mouth goes away? I remember seeing a preview and being like, not for me. Too spooky.
I don't know, but I just Googled them and they're really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
See, what you mean is they're really sexy because they ain't got that mouth.
Yeah, I do.
For everyone to like working their way through.
I was going to say, what the mouth do? Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Mouth they do have a mouth. It's just full. You get me?
Oh, no.
Smooch, smooch, smooch.
My mouth is retired.
Yeah, they retired their mouths.
Only.
Wow, missionary only.
Cody's like, wow, what a way to go.
Wow.
You can use your bottom parts, not in missionary.
Yeah, but okay. We can get banned from Spotify. This has become a porn podcast.
Explain some things to Chloe. What's
from the words thing? Bottom parts.
I'm like, how could I have? Lesbian sex without a mouth?
Birds and the bees, but birds and the moths.
Birds and the moths. Oh,
wow.
How do you ask them politely over a series of weeks?
I guess you have to get that in when you're a teen Luna moth. Because it's a week as an adult.
So you've just written the next great Pixar movie.
Shem, your fact is as hot as the hottest college adult Luna moth on spring break. Whoa. Ready to live her very last few hours before her mouth disappears, and she's gonna make the most of it. That's hot.
Thank you. It's very how Stella got her mouth back vibes.
Oh, wow, that was good. Shem, your fact is as hot as, you know, two of those moths, they're having mouthless sex, and then they say, sweetheart, how do you feel about a third? And they bring in Rachel's adult college person who has a mouth for those couple hours, and what fun that could be.
For a second, I thought you were going to say they bring me in.
No. No.
My God.
For a second, I was going to say, how are they having this conversation?
Yeah.
They know each other so well.
So well.
That there's just like the energy.
Wow. I wonder if they can't communicate either.
That's sad.
While all this is happening.
Shem. Your fact is as hot as a Luna moth. I just looked them up. They're real hot and pretty.
Thank you.
And Blair, how hard do we think Shem's fact is?
I think it is as hot as the nail polish Shem is wearing right now. It is spicy red, red hot yes. chili pepper. It is red hot candy, fireball.
Yes.
Wow, my mouth is sealing over. Ready to go.
I'm ready
to go. Shem is peeking.
Sadly, this might be it.
No.
Just real quiet on the third part of the day.
Shem just pointed. I'm going to assume he's pointing at me. Because I have the last fact of this app, and I hope this isn't common knowledge. It's a pretty simple fact, but it kind of blew my brain. So, quite simply, helium is a finite, non-renewable resource. I did not know that. So we are plowing through those reserves, which have just accumulated through history. And so the ways that we are going to have to mine it through just like the atmosphere and universe are the cost of that is astronomically high. So we keep going through helium shortages and one day there will be no helium. Everyone else knew this. I had no idea. And there are only 14. How about this? We'll put numbers. There are only 14, like 14 reserves or something where you can mine the helium, only 14 around the whole world.
I was going to ask how you mine for it. Also, I can't imagine that that's good.
Helium is typically found in combination with other gases. Once those gases are produced from gas wells, they're separated and purified by cryogenics.
Okay.
Pressure swing absorption or adsorption or a combo of both.
Yeah, I'm reading the uses of helium. It's used to provide inert protective atmosphere for making fiber optics and semiconductors and for arc welding. Helium is also used to detect leaks, such as in car air conditioning systems. And because it diffuses quickly, it is used to inflate car airbags after impact. Guys, we might be losing airbags.
This is bad.
It'll just be a Disney character as a balloon.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like we should just stop balloons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like literally the article is talking about how Party City had to shut down certain stores. And like part of that is due to helium shortage. Like that's such a big part of their business.
Yeah.
Balloons. They're the party store.
I mean, sorry, Party City. You gotta close down.
Balloons aren't that cool.
No.
Yeah.
But how stupid, like, to just imagine, like, civilizations way, you know, millions of years down the line being like, what happened to this resource? And having to be like, we used it for balloons.
Yeah.
We plowed through it for balloons.
I respect it. I'd be like, they knew how to party.
They had fun.
It's like looking at Versailles being like, wow, that's disgusting amount of wealth. But I think they had a good time. Mm-hmm.
Here's my great-great-grandmother standing in her sorority with the numbers 21.
Now, you can't see this from the photo, but she was talking in a squeaky voice. So.
Yes.
They knew not what they were doing.
Yes.
And it's then like, just in the future, everyone just walking around the three like flat, lifeless, like 30 like balloons just empty and like draped. This is how we celebrate.
They even killed the seagulls.
Oh.
Animals, these Homo sapiens.
Oh,
reckless.
Was the film we watched recently, the documentary where they pump helium into like the submarine-y type thing?
But The Last Breath?
Yeah. I recommend watching The Last Breath.
The Last Breath. What is
Shem shaking his head. I cried.
Oh, it's like about
if I cry at Lego Masters, so there's no bar of quality.
It's about a deep sea diver who's deep sea diving on like a submarine or whatever, and then his cord gets stuck and then it rips.
Nope.
And then he's just trapped down in the middle of the deep sea while the boat that there's like tier two is like there's a storm, so he just gets pushed off and like just disappears. And then they're like, we can't find him because he's like a little guy in the middle of the ocean. But
no,
he's just a little guy.
But he's got a little camera, so you get to see the footage of him as he realizes no one's coming to rescue him, and that this is it. So that's the documentary.
It's a documentary?
Die on camera? They show him dying on camera?
I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but like that's what it feels like is happening. It's nuts.
It's a documentary?
I'd say watch it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so is that the arc?
I mean, I'm just like watching. That's why I love a surprise end.
A new documentary coming out about the boys in, I think it was Thailand, the soccer team, where there was like an avalanche that collapsed, created a cave, and they were like, oh, there's no way to get these boys out of the cave except for to like put them under and have these divers bring them underwater. And apparently they like wake up while they were like sedated and underwater, so they have to like re-sedate them underwater. Like eventually, like spoiler, they make it out there, but apparently it was this insane rescue mission. It's gonna be a new documentary coming out, so check that one out too. It looks pretty thrilling.
Oh, if I could watch these. I don't do well with like space or ocean. I like to talk about
127 hours.
I've just been thinking about that.
Okay, yeah. I didn't watch it, but apparently. I met him because my eighth grade teacher is friends with him. And before the movie came out, would bring him in to like talk to students. And I couldn't watch the movie. But he very inspiring.
Fact, people passed out in the theaters because they were so freaked out by the severed limb. I think it premiered at Sundance and they had to there were ambulances outside because people kept passing out watching it.
Yeah, that would have been me. That would have been me watching it. Absolutely. No, thank you. No, thank you. Also, I'm really scared of being, I mean, who isn't, but I'm really scared of being trapped somewhere where I can't breathe. So this sounds horrifying. How did we get there?
Helium.
Helium.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
I was like, how did we get here? Chloe.
How are we trapped here?
Oh dear God.
Let's sedate ourselves and get ourselves out.
That fact is as hot as probably my body temperature would be watching that documentary, because I would be sweating the entire time. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
That fact is as hot as the heat that you would conduct with your body if you were stuck somewhere where you needed I'm thinking of this movie, I'm forgetting the name of it, where they were on an Arctic hike and they got trapped in kind of a cave or whatever, and it was too cold, and so to conduct heat you have to get naked and be skin to skin. So apparently that's what you're meant to do if it's
no mouths.
No math.
You're in a dangerous situation with not enough heat to sleep through the night. You're supposed to be skin to skin with another person.
That, oh God.
If you can.
Sounds so lonely if you're just trapped alone. It's even now.
Oh, sad.
In the end, it was my personality that killed me.
Did you guys watch Woodstock 99?
Not yet. I have to.
So people died of hypothermia because it was such intense heat and there was so much sweat that people were getting cold shakes. And it was just because of the moisture. So people were passing out because their body temperature was dropping so low because it was too hot and wet.
Wow.
Wow.
too hot, too wet, too hot, cold. Yeah.
Hypothermia. People were like dying of hypothermia at Woodstock 99.
I keep trying to watch that documentary, but I just keep remembering that Limp Bizkit is in it. So like, it's really hard to like, get over.
Me too. It's a really depressing documentary.
Okay. Yeah. Chloe, that fact was as hot as Fred Durst's breaking stuff. But in 2021.
Nice. Is he, and that's not Robert Durst, who I thought it was again, right?
Again, it's still not the
man.
Very different.
The man from the Jinx was not sentenced to front Limp Bizkit, although that would be a fitting punishment. We haven't gotten that creative with the criminal justice system just yet.
Chloe, your fact is as hot as a hot air balloon, which will be how people get fun celebrating free balloons in the future. Just look outside. There's a huge 21 going past.
Dang.
We will have to share the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah. Yes. Truly. Well, thank you all so much. This has been a blast, but we're not done yet. Blair, we've had five good facts. I'm going to say it, all good facts. But as our guest, we need you to pick the hottest one. We will recap. Rachel, if you could start.
Dr. Satan, killing for money.
Sister facts, no back, Carrie Fisher punch ups.
No mouth.
Helium is not here forever.
Hey, I think objectively the sexiest, hottest fact is no mouth.
Yeah. No mouth.
No mouth.
No mouth can't do.
Wow. Okay. Blair, people love that mouth. What? Where do you say things with it? Online or otherwise?
I use the mouth. If you want to see what my mouth do, you can follow me at Blair Simone on Instagram. Your girl Blair nice. On Twitter and TikTok. I guess I'm doing TikTok now. And you can listen to my podcast. It's Genetic. Wherever you get ear pads.
Yeah. We are Trash Comedy on Instagram. We are Trash Comedy on Twitter with the letter R. You can DM us. You can tweet us. You can email us at another email. This was such a treat, Blair. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Thank we you are part so of the much. Apocalypse Podcast Network. I won't forget that. Not today. But what am I forgetting? Anything else?
Just to say bye.
Just saying bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Blair.
Thank you, Blair.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.